gives us.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. If we got what we deserved, every one of us would be in hell.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Grace and mercy.
His grace and mercy.
Amen. Has been extended our way.
Yes.
And I have a burden this morning.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Pray that I can be a help. We'll go ahead and apologize for the jumping around the scripture reading that I will be doing to bring our text about. We do appreciate the goodness of the Lord and the Spirit of God that we've already felt. Amen. But I have something I feel like the Lord wants to talk to us about.
All right.
Amen. Acts chapter 21 is where we'll launch from. And then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. And then we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Thank you, Lord.
Acts 21.
Speak to us today, Lord.
Hebrews 11.
Speak to us.
And 1 Peter 2. Amen. I know it's
Jesus.
Jumping around. There's a couple of scriptures here and there.
Oh.
Amen. But I feel like it builds the platform and the foundation for what the Lord has spoken to my heart. Acts chapter 21, verse 15. Amen. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11, one verse of scripture here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. Amen. Hebrews 11, 13. We know this as the faith chapter, the hall of fame of faith.
Yes, yes.
Verse 13 reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. We'll read three verses from here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. Verses 9 through 11. "But ye are a chosen generation,
yes,
a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Oh, yes.
Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God." Amen. How awesome is that?
Yes.
"Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy."
Oh, yes. Thank
Amen.
You
can preach for an hour right there.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
"Hear you, beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust,
yes,
which war against the soul."
Oh, God.
Hebrews 11 and 1 Peter 2, amen, speak of being strangers and pilgrims.
Yes.
Acts chapter 21, Paul talks about taking up their carriages, and they went up to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Amen. This morning, with the Lord's help, just for a little while, I want to preach on the Pilgrim's Pack. The Pilgrim's Pack. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Yes, Lord.
God, we're so thankful for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We're so thankful.
We need you, Lord. We need
God, for the presence of God that we feel, your Spirit, God. Lord, it just swept into this house, Lord. I still feel you near, God. I still feel you here. And Lord, I pray that you will cover me with that anointing. Lord, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, God. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would touch me as a vessel of clay, Lord, to speak, God, your eternal word. God, everything that is done in this house, Lord, you get the praise and the glory. And Lord, I know I cannot do it of myself. And Lord, I'll be careful to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
All right, you can be seated this morning.
All right.
Just don't sit on the preacher. Amen. The same Greek word is used by the writer of Hebrews and the writer of 1 Peter for the word pilgrim. In the Greek, that word would mean a foreigner, a stranger, one who resides where they are not a resident. Webster Dictionary defines pilgrim as one who journeys in foreign lands.
Yes.
Can I just say this morning that each and every one of us is a pilgrim?
Yes, we are.
We reside in the United States of America, and I'm glad we do. I still believe with all her faults and failures, it still is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I still believe that America ought to be respected in the red, white, and blue. Amen. Ought to be honored. I still believe that our veterans and those that are actively serving should be paid the highest respect because they gave of themselves for this nation that we call home. Yet we live here in America, but we're not citizens, so to say, in America.
Yes.
We're like Abraham. We're walking and we're journeying and we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God.
Yes, I
have my eyes set this morning, not on the things around me, not on this world, not on the trouble that she's in, but I've got my eyes just a little bit higher and I'm looking heavenward, trying to find my way to that beautiful city that Jesus said, if I go, I will prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. That is a promise that we have. It's a promise that has not yet come to pass, but I believe with all my heart. Amen. There's going to come a day the eastern sky is going to open, and Jesus is going to call, and we're going to rise and meet Him in the air. Amen. No matter if we leave this earth by the way of the grave, or we leave this earth by the way of the trumpet, however you leave, amen, we're just walking that way.
Yes.
Amen. We're all headed home this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. It's a sad and sobering thought to think the day you were born, you started dying.
That's right.
We're all headed to an appointment someday. Acts chapter 21. We read in that chapter it is prophesied to Paul what would happen to him when he went back to Jerusalem. A prophet by the name of Agabus prophesied that Paul would be bound and delivered unto the Gentiles. The Bible says that when he heard these things, both we and they of that faith besought him not to go to Jerusalem.
Yes.
They told Paul, you heard what the men of God said. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get turned and you're going to get bound and you're going to be delivered over to the Gentiles. But then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you have that resolve this morning? Amen. Can I tell you, we're headed for some things. I know we live in America, and thank God we still have the right and the privilege to come and assemble together and to worship. But I'm afraid if the Lord tarries, we're going to be like some of those other countries where they don't recognize God and they don't recognize the gospel. And we may have to go under church, and we may have to go underground to have church. We may have to take and try to have church in hiding. We may have to take and lay down our lives for the cause of the gospel. This is Paul.
Yeah.
He said, I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, are you willing to lay down your life for the gospel of the Lord? Amen. Are you willing to lay down your life for that which you believe in? You understand this morning there is a difference between a conviction and a preference.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. A conviction is something you'll die for.
Right.
That's
a preference is just something you prefer.
That's right.
Amen. How is your heart fixed this morning?
Help us, Lord. Help us.
The Bible said, and when we would not persuade, when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. They tried to get Paul to stay. They tried to get Paul not to go. But they realized that Paul had his mind made up. If I go to Jerusalem and they bind me, they turn me over to the Gentiles, if they even behead me and kill me, it's going to be okay because I have lived my life up to this moment. We find that in Timothy, when he does get ready to be executed, he said, I've fought a good fight.
Yeah.
I've kept the faith. Right. I've finished the course.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. That's what I want to be said in my life. When it comes down to the end, Brother Hunt, he kept the faith. He ran the race. He fought the good fight. There was no turn back in him. There was no give up in him. That's what I want to be said in my life.
Yeah.
Paul said, I'm going, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
All right.
So finally they just said, all right, we can't persuade you otherwise. They ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. They just said, well, Paul, you just go ahead and do what you want to do.
Right.
What it sounded like, they were saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 15 of Acts 2:1. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. In the Greek, that word carriages means to pack up one's baggage. Amen. Have you ever heard people say, man, you got a lot of baggage?
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
amen.
Yes.
We all come with baggage.
That's right.
Amen. When we came to Jesus, one writer, songwriter said that we got the best end of the bargain.
Yes.
We gave Him all of our junk, and He gave us His blessings.
All right. Yes.
We gave Him our miserable life, and He gave us a life full of joy and joy unspeakable. We gave Him our brokenness, and He fixed the broken heart.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad this morning that we have a God who is able to take the brokenness of our life and turn it around.
Yes.
Jesus stood up in the book of Isaiah reading from the scroll, and He said, "This day, amen, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted."
Yes.
This morning, if you're here and your heart is broken, can I tell you about a Jesus who knows how to mend the broken heart? If you're here this morning and it feels like your world is shattered, can I introduce you to a Jesus that knows how to take the pieces and put them back together? Amen. If you're here this morning and you feel like your world is torn apart, can I tell you, I know a God who created the world, and all He's got to do is speak into your life, and your world can be rearranged and put back together. Amen. I'm glad this morning, amen, that I serve a God who specializes in the rebuilding process of lives.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you.
The peril of the pilgrimage is not necessarily the route. We've been on some trips. We put a lot of miles on some cars in the years that Sister Hunt and I have been married. We evangelized for some time and drove all over. And it wasn't so bad because somebody would send me an address. Well, Sunday, I got a hold of Brother Griffiths and I'm like, "Hey, where's your church at? I know where Bowling Green is, but where's the church at?"
Yeah.
And he sent me an address and I punched it into my GPS. Took me right to the door.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. But I'm young enough and old enough at the same time to remember the Grand McNally roadmaps, the atlases.
Yes.
I remember. We'd get ready to go on a trip, and Dad would sit down, and he would kind of map it out. We would get it figured out on which way to go and which we thought would be the best way. And my dad just did not believe in paying to use a highway.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we came to a place that was a toll road, he'd pull over and get the old Grand McNally Atlas out, begin to look and try to find a route around so he didn't have to pay to use the road. He said, "I pay taxes for that."
That's right.
Amen. So, as a kid, I learned to read a map. I learned to look at the Grand McNally and try to figure out ways to go and places to get and things like that. I remember doing that as a kid. And even in my younger years when I first started driving, I had moved to Anderson, South Carolina for a couple of years. And I got ready to come back to Florida, and I had to learn to use a map to take and figure out, okay, I pretty much just realized I just got to take and hit 95 and shoot it down and shoot over and take it. And so I had to map it out first. So most of the time, the peril of our journey is not the route. We understand this morning this word, this route that we're taking this morning. The Bible said it's a straight and narrow way.
Yeah.
And I do believe it is straight and narrow. And I'm afraid sometimes it's probably narrower than we really think it is. Sometimes I'm afraid that the Bible said if the righteous scarcely make the earth by the sinner and the ungodly appear.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid sometimes that it is probably a little tighter than what we really walk and what we really realize.
I remember some years ago
there was a preacher who was preaching, and he said this, that he had a dream that he stood before the Lord, and while he was standing there, he got to the gate, and Peter looked at him and said, "You know what? You lived a good, clean life, and you didn't have to do all that. But you over and overachiever, so come on into the joy of the Lord." And he said that it seemed like the page changed and the screen changed, and the next thing he knew, he was standing before the Lord, and the Lord looked at him and said, "I'm glad you lived the way you did, because it took everything you did enter into the joy of the Lord." Can I tell you this morning, I'd rather make heaven by inch than miss it by a mile. Amen. I'd rather take, amen, and know that my heart is right, and know that I'm living right, know that I'm doing right, and trying to live by every principle in the Word of God that God, amen, has laid out for us. I'd rather this morning to make heaven by an inch than miss it by a mile.
Oh, yes.
Amen. I hate to take chances. Amen.
That's right.
I don't gamble.
That's right.
I don't buy raffle tickets.
Yes, yes.
Amen, because I don't feel like wasting money on a happenstance that I may win.
Right.
Amen. I like my odds. I had a Jehovah's Witness one time talking to me, and I said, do you believe 144,000 is going to make it to heaven? He said, yes, that's what the Bible says. Well, if you twist the scripture, that's what it says.
That's right.
And so I sat there and I said, how many people in the Jehovah's Witness religion has already died? He's like, oh, I don't know, probably millions.
Yeah.
I said, how many you got in your church now? He said, I don't know, probably millions.
Probably not going to make it.
And I said, well, you only got a chance of 144,000. Right. And who knows, 144,000 had already died.
Yes.
And you're just out here working in vain. Or you got all these other people that are way ahead of you in the race, and you're just probably not going to make it. I said, in my Christianity and what I believe is whosoever will,
amen,
we all get a chance to go. Amen. I prefer my odds a whole lot better.
Right.
Amen. All I got to do is trust Him and believe that whatever He does and wherever He takes me on this road of life, that He's going to work it for my good.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. The peril of the journey, amen, it's not in the route. It's not in the finances, per se. Because most of the time we get ready to go on a trip, we have it planned out, we've been saving, we've been putting back, we have a fallback fund, we have a rainy day fund, we took and we budgeted it out, we understand, amen, about what it's going to cost, we got some attractions we want to go look at, and so we looked up online and see how much that was going to cost, and we may have added a few dollars just in case inflation hit by the time we got there and different things. So we took and we laid it out. We got it mapped out. So the finances are not necessarily the problem.
Yes.
Amen. The peril of the journey is not necessarily the destination, because we know where we want to go. We've already set it out. We know, hey man, we're going to go here.
Yes.
The peril of the pilgrimage oftentimes is in packing.
That's right.
How many have gone on a trip and had to pack?
Yes.
Man, every one of us. I remember when we first set out to evangelize and we went to a couple conferences, we weighed our car down.
Yes.
I had 3 suits for the morning, 3 suits for the night, a set of clothes for in between. Sister Hunt had day dresses and night dresses and clothes for in between. The baby had day dresses and night dresses and clothes for in between. And we had the shoe bag. I had 2 pair of brown shoes, 2 pair of black shoes, because this pair of shoes may not look as good with this suit as this pair of shoes, and this, that, and the other. And Lord, you know, you got 2 ladies with you, and so you got all their shoes and different things. And I mean, we just packed the car out, and we'd go somewhere like we were moving in.
Uh-huh.
You hear a preacher about it, this is your home church now. Amen. We just loaded up. It was good when we got our first camper trailer and started pulling that around the country. We had everything with us. Yeah, I used to tell people, it's nothing better than laying your head on your own pillow and slobbering on it at night.
Yeah.
Amen. And when you can, Brother Homer Gibson said, I was a turtle. Just wherever I parked was home. And so wherever I stopped, I could crawl in my bed, put my head on my pillow, and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Amen. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed that kind of life. Amen. Yeah, it was a test of faith.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd be preaching and boy, you do good. And some weeks there was days with no phone calls, and you're saying, God, am I going to have to do a good job? Amen. But God was always faithful through it all.
Yes.
But we learned as we traveled more and did more things, we realized I could take 3 suits, and during the day I could wear the pants and the jacket.
That's right.
All right.
Change the time.
Yeah.
And switch it up.
Yeah.
So I could take 3 suits and make 6 suits.
Yes.
And then I learned that neckties, boy, they pack so much easier than anything else.
Yeah.
And you can just take and get you a bunch of them and just mix match and throw colors around. And we learned some things.
Yes.
But we had to come up with a new system. After, you know, I had forgot some stuff. Forget your socks or forget your belt. You go to preach somewhere, you get your suit on, you go to put your belt on, it ain't nowhere there. It's 300 miles back the other direction. Amen. I've learned. So we had to come up with a system. Now, we take everything, we bring it into the bedroom, we let Mama go through it.
Lay it all out.
And Mama goes, I think you need 1 more pair of undies.
Yeah,
just in case. And you might want to get another pair of socks.
Just in case.
You may want to get another undershirt.
Yes.
I counted 5 days. That's 5 pairs of socks, 5 pairs of t-shirts. You know, that's all I need. No, you never know what may happen. So now we got the system where we get ready to go somewhere. We bring it in. Sister Hunt looks at it. She checks it off. She's got this mental checklist going on. She says, all right, we need this, this, and this. And I can't tell you how many times we had to stop and buy shampoo and conditioner.
Yes.
Amen.
Because Walmart.
We'd find a Walmart, Dollar General somewhere.
Yes.
And have to go buy some stuff. But we learned how to pack and how to consolidate and make room.
Yes.
Amen. We learned all these things. Just like the Apostle Paul. This morning, each and every one of us, as I said earlier, we're on a journey to Jerusalem.
Yes.
But for us, it's that new Jerusalem, the one
yes.
that they saw coming down.
Yes.
But we are pilgrims here. This is not our home. They used to sing a song that says, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I got a home that's so much better
yes.
that I'm going to go to sooner or later.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine. Some years ago, his mom had moved to Florida as she retired, and then she went by the way of the grave, but there was a hurricane that came kind of close to her area, and he got a phone call from some people and said, hey, we want to see if your mom needs a new roof on her house. And he said, my mom has moved.
Yes.
And they said, oh, we didn't realize. Said, yes, she went. She now lives in a gated community. She has solar electricity because the sun of that city is the light of the world. And he told him that his mama was now residing in a place called heaven. Can I tell you this morning, if we make it to heaven, it's going to be on purpose. You're not going to accidentally make it to heaven. You will never be accidentally saved. You will never be accidentally apostolic. It's something that you purpose in your mind and in your heart. This morning, we got to get, amen, in our heart and mind that we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. We're all on that journey. And I believe there's some things that we must have in our pack. There are some things that we must carry that are essential to our life. Amen. We all have packed things and we know what's essential. Your underclothing is an essential part of your wardrobe.
Yeah.
Amen. But I believe that in our Christian walk, there's some things that we must have in our pack, like repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost
right.
with the evidence of speaking
Amen.
In other tongues. These are things, necessities that we must have. We must have a righteous and holy life before God and man. These are some things that we must all have in our pilgrim pack this morning. The burden of my heart is this. I'm afraid that some of us are carrying things that we ought not have in our pack. This morning, I'm afraid, amen, we have things that weigh us down. We have things that hold us back. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Can I tell you this morning, there are some things that are not sin, but they're just weights, and they cause us not to be able to take and make this journey the way that we ought to. And there are some things to stop us from getting the things that we need from God. There's some things, amen, that come into our life and they hinder us from our walk with the Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen. We all have some things in our pack, amen, that weigh us down.
Yes.
And those are the things that I feel like the Lord wants to help us with today. We have some things that we must have, but yet there are some things that we need to unpack. There are some things we need to leave on the altar. There are some things we need to take and say, God, I don't want these in my life no more. God, I don't want to be carrying these around.
Yes, yes,
yes. Amen. The word weight in the Greek here means a hindrance, something that causes us to bend or buckle from the load. Amen. Have you ever gone through things And you said, Lord, I just don't know how much more I can take. Yeah. Amen. And it feels like the next straw is going to be the one that breaks the camel's back. But can I tell you, the Bible said God knows your frame. God knows what you're made of. Yeah. God knows what you can handle. The Bible doesn't say that He will not put more on us than we're able to bear. But it did say that He will not tempt us above that which we are able. But with every temptation, make a way of escape. Can I tell you, friend, whatever you're going through, God is able to get under that arm and help you. Amen. Amen. Whatever you're carrying this morning, God is able to take it. Amen. And help you bear that load. Oh, yes, there's things that cause us to bend. There's things that cause our knees to buckle because we were never meant to carry them. We were never meant to take them and try to cope them on our own. There's some things the devil burns us down with that God said, I don't want you carrying. I don't want you holding on to it. Amen. There's some things in our lives that the devil tries to weigh us down with. But God said, if you give it to me, I'll take it away and I'll make your load so much higher. This morning, I'm trying to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, amen, you can unpack your pack this morning. Amen. I come to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, amen, you can't take and leave this place lighter. You can leave this place different. You can leave this place free. Amen. You can leave this place. Say, God is my high tower. God has a way of making our road lighter. The word beset is a Greek word that's only used one time in all of the Bible. And it means to thwart. Yeah. Thwart, according to Webster Dictionary, means to oppose successfully. Mm-hmm. To defeat the hopes or aspirations of. How many times have you heard people say this? They come down, they pray, and they say, I feel like the world has been lifted off of my shoulders. They feel like the burden has been lifted. Hey, man, but then the day will come and it begins to weigh us down, trying to beset us, trying to oppose us, try to, amen, defeat the hopes and the aspirations thereof. Can I tell you, friend, if you're just new to the church and you're just new to living for God, be careful, friend, and realize that there will be times that the load gets heavy. There will be times that the devil tries, amen, to oppress you and try to take and push you down and try to defeat your hopes and aspirations. But can I tell you this morning, we have hope in a God, amen, that is able to do exceedingly above anything that we can ask or think. Amen. Man has thought of a lot of great things. Just think back 100 years ago where our nation was, where our world was, and look at us now. Amen. We have so much technology. We have so many things that, amen, just blow our mind. When I was a kid, we used to think about flying cars and all these things. Yeah, we're not there yet, but who's to say in the next 20 years we don't have them?
Right. Yes.
Amen. We got self-driving vehicles now. My.
Yes.
I wouldn't trust it. That one fellow bought him an RV and he crashed it. And the cop came and said, man, what happened? He said, man, I put cruise control on and I went to go get a sandwich. And the cop said, well, cruise control just maintains your speed. It doesn't drive it. Hey, man, but they probably got it now. You can set the cruise control. I think I told you this. My father-in-law got that boat and he's got this system in there where he can take and put in a GPS coordinates.
Yes.
And then the thing will head that way.
Yes.
And he just sits there with his foot on the wheel, just keeping between the buoy markers so he can stay in the channels and things like that. Just the technology they have. They have missiles now that are heat-seeking missiles. They can just shoot it and it'll go and find its spot. Amen. Such technology we have. Amen. And all that has come about in the last 100 years. Can I tell you, God is a God that can exceed our expectations. God, amen. It's too many times we put God in a box and we say, God, you got to do like this. But God the whole time is trying to go, amen, beyond our realm of thinking, trying to take and do something that would totally blow our mind. But we got God so limited. We got God set in a box that God cannot move. Amen. I say this morning, we take the lid off the box and say, God, you be God. God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm okay with it. God, not my will, but thy will be done. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Amen. We got to take the Lord, and we cannot carry the things of this life.
Alright.
Amen. I'm afraid, as the church, we're carrying way too much stuff in our past.
Yes.
Amen. How many know this morning that you can't worry and worship at the same time?
Right.
Amen. Because when you worry, you begin to take and doubt that God is able.
Yes.
How many know that you can't shout and doubt at the same time?
Right.
Amen. You're going to do one or the other. I say it's time this morning that we unload our pack.
Help us, Lord.
Yes.
There are some things the devil likes to pack us with. Amen. Regret. Amen.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest thing that backsliders face.
Yes.
Is regret.
Yes, yes. Oh, God.
Believe me, I know.
Yes.
Amen. Devil, look at you and tell you you'll never amount to anything. You'll never make it.
Yes.
You tried once and you failed. You tried twice and you failed. There's no sense in even trying again. That's a burden that the devil puts on us. That's a weight that the devil tries to get us to carry, is the weight of regret. Amen. I talked to a young man not too long ago, got a call of God on his life. And he told me, he said, Brother Hunt, he said, I know I have a call, but I feel like I'm not worthy because I walked away. And God came back. And I told this young man, I said, did God fill you with the Holy Ghost? He said, yes. I said, if God gave you the Holy Ghost, that is God's proof that He's still with you.
Merciful God. Yes, He is.
I'm glad we serve a merciful God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anxiety is something the devil tries to weigh us down with.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and peace and of a sound mind. If God didn't give us the spirit of fear, then where did it come from?
That's right.
Amen. You know, I did a study on phobias one time, and do you know there's a phobia of having phobias?
Right.
And I thought, my goodness.
Wow.
You're scared of being scared.
Yeah.
That is a sucker. Amen. We were at work the other day, and we're making up these boxes on the front of the structure. There's 36 boxes, and there's like 56 terminations in each box. And it's been taking us a little bit. And we had this girl named Christy, and she hollered. And we're like, hey, what's going on? A spider got on her. And I said, well, I don't like them either. I'm not definitely scared of them. Amen. And then the safety guy was saying, if you go into the portalettes, make sure you look around. They found black widow eggs and stuff in them. And I'm thinking, man, that's crazy. Man, I don't like spiders, but, you know, I don't really have a phobia of them. If I see them, you know, most of the time I try to kill them.
Yes.
Sister Hunt, remember this? We were in Lawton, Oklahoma, it was in Boswell, Oklahoma. And there was a big old spider in front of our house. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to smash it. And I did this, and he fell and ran up my pant leg.
Oh,
God. I stripped to my Scoobies right in the front yard.
Woo.
I don't like it.
Oh, it's dark.
Yeah. It was dark. It was nighttime.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. But why does them legs dark?
Some neighbors got him on the Ring doorbell camera.
Luckily, we live in kind of a secluded area.
Yeah.
I don't like spiders. Man, I don't necessarily have a phobia, but I don't like them. One of the things the devil tries to burden us down with is bitterness.
Yes, he does.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Right. Bitterness is a big problem.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
In the church.
Yes, sir.
I've got a cousin.
Precious Savior.
Who, his mama passed away of cancer when he was just a young boy. Probably 10, 11 years old. And to this day, he is bitter against God and won't have nothing to do with church. His mama died speaking in tongues.
Oh,
went to eternity speaking in the Holy Ghost. But he won't have nothing to do with church because he said, why would God take a boy's mama when he was not still, when he was still growing up? Amen. Sometimes we don't understand why God does what he does. But God, amen, knows how to help us through those situations. But the devil would like to take and turn you bitter against God.
Yeah.
Have you ever had him say, if God really loved you, you would be going through what you're going through. If God really loved you, you would be faced with what you're faced with right now. Amen. It's just a lie of the enemy, a trick of the devil. Amen. Resentment is another weight the devil tries to put on us. Unforgiveness. Amen. You can't forgive what they've done to you. Somebody wronged you. And you think you're over it. You think you're good. Until somebody brings their name up. And you're like, and you realize, oh my God. I've never forgiven that person. You know the Bible says if you want forgiveness, you got to learn to forgive. Amen. Jesus said it. Lord, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Amen.
That's right.
Depression is the weight the devil tries to put on us.
Yep.
Amen. If you're facing depression, it doesn't mean that you're demon-possessed. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, you're lost or this, that, and the other. It's a weight that the devil has placed upon you.
Go ahead.
Amen. Our past. That's the biggest weight that most people carry. But can I tell you this morning, if God has forgiven you of your past, don't hold your past against yourself. Amen. If it's been buried in the water grave of baptism, guess what? Jesus no longer sees it. He no longer remembers it. He removed it as far as the east is from the west. This morning, don't let the devil take and bring up your past. Because when you're trying to take and be the accuser of the brother, when you're trying to come up and say, Jesus, do you know what they did? Jesus looked and said, I have no record of it, but I do have a record that they were baptized in Jesus' name, and now their past is erased. Can I tell you this morning, God has erased our past. Don't hold your past against you.
Yes.
We all have one. No, we can't go back and change it.
Thank you, Lord.
No.
I was quoted quite a few times saying this in Oklahoma. You cannot alter your past, but you can take your past to an altar.
To the altar, that's right.
Amen. You can take and unpack it this morning and say, God, you see, I've been struggling with this. God, you see, I've been wrestling with this. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.
Right.
And I tell you this morning, God knows how to get under the load, God, which say, come and take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You were never meant to carry the things that you're carrying. Amen. Your life was never meant, amen, to hold the things in your pack that you're carrying this morning. This morning I say it's time that we come and say, God, I'm unloading my pack. I only want to have the things that you want me to have and carry the things you want me to carry.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians about the whole armor of God. It said, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Amen. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Amen. The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Amen. We ought to have these things. These are things that we must have in our pack. Amen. If there's something in your life that you stumble on oftentimes, when you get to that, say, Lord, I don't want to stumble here. Take and say, you know what, Lord? I'm turning this into a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. Amen. People, Brother Ron Pickard used to say this all the time. I was talking to him the other day, and he told me that, he said, I was getting ready to preach in Bowling Green, and I was talking to him that night, And he said, whatever you do, you make sure you quote Brother Ron Picker at least one time. Yeah, so this is my Brother Ron Picker quote. He said, when people backslide and they come back to church, they say, I want to get back to where I once was in God. He said, aim higher. You fell from there. Go beyond that. Amen. I want to go further in God than I've ever been. Amen. A higher plane. Amen. I want to keep just climbing higher and higher and higher. Amen. I don't want to get back to where I once was. I want to get so high that I live back at that spot. Amen. But the way you do that is to take it. When you come against those obstacles and the devil tries to weigh you down and throw stumbling blocks in your way, you say, you know what? God forgave me. This is going to be a stepping stone. And I'm going to go to the next level. You ever realize that when Peter cut off Malchus's ear in the garden, Jesus rushed down and put his ear back on his head. You know why? Because he was erasing the evidence against Peter.
That's right.
Amen. Malchus could have went and, you know, they could have charged Peter with attempted murder and he'd got locked up and maybe even crucified early. Amen. But Jesus took and put that ear back on Malchus's head. Now Malchus can go, Peter, cut my ear off. I just don't see it. Both ears are attached to your head. Amen. God took and erased the evidence against Peter. He's saying, Peter, I'm going to need you in a few days. Amen. Don't let your anger, don't let, amen, your attitude, don't let the weights that you're carrying in your pack stop what God is trying to do in your life. Amen. Lord, I'm unpacking my pack this morning. Do you have things that you're carrying around? It may be something I didn't even mention this morning. But while I was preaching, you started making a mental note. Yes, I need to get rid of that. Yes, this is something that's weighing me down. This is something I've been concerned about and worried about for so long, and there's nothing I can do about it. What did Jesus say? Who of you can change your stature?
Yes.
By worrying. Amen. Worry gets you nowhere.
Right.
Amen. You can't worry and worship at the same time. Because when you worry, it takes your focus off of who you should be worshiping.
Yes.
Amen. There's been times that Sister Hunt and I was going through some things and I worried. And I would go to church and try to worship. But my worship was hindered by my worriness. There's been times that I stood up and preached. And that's why I believe it's very important. If you're not going to be at the house of God, to text Brother Texan, your pastor. And let him know, hey, you're not going to make it tonight.
All right.
Because I've been there. Stood up in the pulpit and preached. Church started. I'm looking, people didn't show up, and then you start thinking, I wonder if they're okay, I wonder if everything's all right, I wonder if they're sick. And I hope they didn't, you know, hope I didn't say something last service that made them mad. A simple couple minute text, hey brother, not gonna be there tonight, whatever came up. Then he can come to the pulpit and he ain't gotta worry about you, and he can deliver his heart. Amen. I have said that in many, many pulpits across America. So this morning, do you have things that you need to unpack? I'll be honest with you, there's some things, amen, that I've carried that I had no business carrying.
Yes.
Amen. Regret. I told somebody one time that I felt like I wasted the best years of my life out in this world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bachelor preacher. 15 years.
Jesus.
I always had a heart for young people. Always had a heart for youth ministry. But I spent those years. Didn't get back in church until I was in my 40s. You know, those people say once you get 35, you're no longer youth minister material.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know where they came in with that. But Amen. And I spent many a day praying and saying, God, did I miss my opportunity? Did I waste the most valuable years of my life out there in the world? And that was something I carried in my pack. I said, Lord, I'll never be able to do the things that I feel like you want me to do because I was carrying around too much. But I learned one day I had to find an altar and say, Lord, I don't want to carry this another day. Lord, help me make the most of my now, because I can't change yesterday.
Right.
Amen. You can't change your past. All you can do is in the present make a better future.
Yes.
Amen. You can start today.
Yes.
And have a better tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen. Let's all stand this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not on your way to Jerusalem, you're actually headed in the other direction. Mm-hmm. Amen. Today's a good day to come and cast your cares upon the Lord. Amen. And find Him to be your hope and help. Amen. If you're here this morning and you have not repented of your sins, I know a God who is faithful. Amen. He will hear your cry. You may get down here and all you can do is cry tears. But guess what? Tears are a language that God understands. The psalmist said He bottles up your tears. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you want to go to the hunt? I am on my way to Jerusalem. I just had so much hold me back, weighing me down. And it blessed my heart this morning to see Sister Nala be the first one to step out and give God glory. Amen. And to see what God is doing in the lives of our young people.
Yeah.
And guess what, Mom and Dad? They're going to follow you. They're going to follow in your footsteps whether you realize it or not. And wherever you're leading them is where they'll end up, more than likely. I got two sons there. And we got two other daughters and another son that are lost. And they're probably following some of the footsteps that I had previously left. But I hope to get to that point where they see where I turned and made it to Christ. Made it back to the altar. Amen. This morning your children are following you. They're looking to you. How will you lead them? Will you let the things in your pack hinder them? Will you let the things that you're toting hinder their walk with God and their relationship? Amen. This morning, if you feel like you need to pray, I'm going to open these altars. Man, you ain't got to tell me. You ain't got to say, Brother Hunt, I've been battling with this. I've been carrying this. God, I got this weight. All you got to come and say, Lord, the Bible said to cast my cares upon you that you care for me. And take and just unload your pack this morning. Say, Lord, I surrender all. God, I give it all. God, I hold nothing back. Lord, you gave your all, I give my all. God, if there's unforgiveness in my heart, help me to forgive. God, if there's bitterness in my heart, God, I pray that you'd help me root it out. God, if there's resentment in my life, God, I pray, Lord, that you will help me get over it. God, whatever it is this morning, God, that we're battling, that we're facing, Lord, help us this morning. God, to unburden the pack, God. God, in our load of every life, God, help us, Lord, to link up with you this morning. God, for your yoke is easy. Lord, your burden is light. God, we love you this morning. Help us.
Thank you.